Good morning, friends. Good to see you today. It's good to be with you this morning. My family was out of town last weekend, and I know that Glenn Langston loved being amongst this community last week, so thanks again for welcoming him. And he told me a few stories of the ways that you did that, and I'm so grateful to receive that news. So thanks for joining us today, whether you are here in person or watching online, participating that way. Thanks. If you are a guest among us, we are so thankful for your presence today. We're so glad that you've joined us, and we hope that you feel especially welcome. Well, throughout our service, we'll do a variety of things. We will read scripture. We'll do a psalm in just a few moments. We'll light our Christ candle. We will share the Lord's Supper a little bit later in our service. If you're watching online and want to share in that with us, you can get your supplies ready, your bread, crackers, wine, juice, water, whatever you're using is just fine. In just a moment, I'm going to read our psalm for the day, but before I do that, I always forget there are some cards up on that screen if you want to fill some of those out, those blue ones, to let us know that you're here, the yellow ones to send out some encouragement cards. I will talk about that a little bit later in our service, and also those pink ones, if you have a need or prayer request, all these can go into the offering plate. Later in our service. All right, let's light our Christ candle to remind us that Christ is indeed among us. As we worship together, I will read the psalm after that, and then we will sing. Would you stand, please, for the reading of this psalm? Let's remain standing for the couple of songs that follow. This is from Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and decay like the green plants. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring out your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Let's sing together.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and a righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On the Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When the darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and a stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On the Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His hope, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Holy, holy are you, Lord. The whole earth is filled with your glory. Let the nations rise to give honor and praise to your name. Let your face shine on us, and the world will know you live. All the heavens shout your praise. Beautiful is our God. The universe will sing alleluia to you, our King. Holy, holy are you, Lord. The whole earth is filled with your glory. Let the nations rise to give honor and praise to your name. Let your face shine on us, and the world will know you live. All the heavens shout your praise. Beautiful is our God. The universe will sing alleluia to you, our King. Let your face shine on us, and the world will know you live. All the heavens shout your praise. Beautiful is our God. The universe will sing alleluia to you, our King. All the heavens shout your praise. Beautiful is our God. The universe will sing alleluia to you, our King. Alleluia to you, our King. Let's be seated.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the season for a new anointing. This is the season for a fresh outpouring. That the sons and daughters of the King and glory may arise and shine. That the sons and daughters of the King of glory may arise and shine as we declare. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. In the beginning God created, and for his pleasure all creation sings. Every son and daughter of the King of glory, now arise and shine. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory, now arise and shine as we declare. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let your glory fill the earth. 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 As we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. King of glory, fill the earth. 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 As we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's be seated.
All right, the youngest among us recognize this slide. This is for our youngest kids. We have a roots table at the back. Miss Jessica is taking care of that this morning. You can join all the other children at that table if you would like and participate in our service that way. Since the beginning of January, we've been wondering aloud about whatever is next for this congregation, what the future may hold for us, for this building, for us as a people. To help us, we've been paying attention to a book called The Imaginative or The Innovative Church, How Leaders and Their Congregations Can Adapt in an Ever-Changing World by Scott Cormode. Cormode writes this: almost everything about the current experience of the church was established in a bygone era. The way we worship, the passages of scripture we cherish, and the people we expect to see. The basic contours of church have not changed, even as the world has been transformed. The church as we know it is calibrated for a world that no longer exists. So in response, Cormode asks us this question: how do we maintain a rock-solid commitment to the unchanging Christian faith while at the same time finding innovative ways to express that faith in an ever-changing culture? Good question. Cormode says that what's needed is a recalibration of the church through ancient church practices that have been handed down to us, and that's what we've been attempting to do. 5 weeks ago now, we talked about hospitality, which is treating outsiders like insiders, the way that God has treated us. 4 weeks ago, vocation, caring for the people entrusted to your care. 3 weeks ago, gratitude and lament, and how the two are never, ever far apart, and how both find their place in Jesus. 2 weeks ago, prayer, which is entrusting to God the things that I would rather control myself, and Sabbath, which is an act of resistance by saying yes to God. Last week, as we spoke about earlier, our friend Glenn Langston, one of our missions partners, was here to speak. Today, we'll think about community and testimony. Next week, discernment. Throughout this series, we have been sharing stories of hope through these recalibrated practices. Caleb spoke on hospitality, Robert Perez so beautifully on vocation, Chelsea Sargent on gratitude and lament, Cynthia Bird on prayer and Sabbath. We'll share another story today. Sharing such stories creates hope in what God might be up to now and here among this body and throughout the world. In thinking about our two topics today, let's begin by hearing a reading from Colossians.
Colossians 3:11 through 17. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thanks, Brandy. Let's pray together, please. O God, you are our God, and earnestly we seek you. Pour forth through me now the gift of preaching. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, because it's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. Jesus practiced community. Once, Jesus spent the night in prayer, entrusting himself and all that he was to God. When morning came, he called 12 persons to him and appointed them as apostles. This small community that formed around him was an eccentric bunch, a peculiar mixture that you can sometimes find today in offbeat gatherings like a church. They had some things in common, of course, like their religion or their parents or their humanity or their enemies. But for the most part, they did what mixed bags do. They walked with each other. They listened. They argued, sometimes heatedly. They asked weird questions. They served. They did the best they could. They betrayed. They abandoned ship. They said yes to one another. Jesus taught about community. Once, Jesus shared a meal with those same 12. This particular meal would be the last one before his death, and Jesus knew it. Out of everything he could have taught his community in this moment, he decided to become the object lesson himself, showing them exactly what would be on the final exam. Jesus took off his jacket, stripped down to a bare minimum, wrapped an old towel around him. He grabbed a bowl, filled it with water, and one by one, despite their objections and their shudders, knelt before them all. He, the Christ of God, washed their grimy feet. Between their toes and underneath their blackened toenails, where no self-respecting person would ever want to go. The sloshing water became the sermon that night, even after Jesus took back the microphone for the benediction. If I, he said, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Jesus received community. Once, as Jesus' life dripped away from his body, he looked down from where he had been forcibly placed, yet willingly went. From his crossed perch, he saw family and friends, mostly women, his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene, and more. They had cared for Jesus when alive, paid for his travels, journeyed with him. They now cared for him as his breaths grew stressful and short. They were his community in the end, the ones who would not leave him no matter what. Community, that elusive, slippery, risky endeavor we all hope for. Community is elusive because true community is so difficult to find. Some people connect over sports or political affiliations, over TikTok videos or drinks. Some people even connect in faith communities like churches. And while acquaintance may bloom into friendship, association is not the same as community. You can go years in association with another person or with many, bonding over discussions about church history or Supreme Court cases or assessments of the Super Bowl halftime show, and yet still wonder, but do they really know me? We can find community in patches, sure, AA groups, Bible classes, Facebook forums, dinners, but loneliness can exist in assembly too. Community in its purest form takes so much time and effort, and people are so busy, and look how many great distractions we have, and community remains elusive. Community is also slippery, and we know that's true. How easily community can slip away right through your hands, be it friendships or relationships or churches. Pull enough Jenga blocks out and watch the whole thing fall. Disagreements and pandemics and deaths of all kinds and ripple-inducing choices that someone else made and congregations too dependent on magnetic yet broken leaders, and it's Jericho all over again, walls come a-tumbling down. You once thought your community had solid footing on solid ground, but was it just really sinking sand all along? Was it community at all, or was it just a blob of faulty people who happened to be around each other a few times a week? Community is slippery. Community is also risky. At the risk of sounding too obvious, community is dependent on other people, not just yourself. There is no community of one, which disappoints us introverts, who sometimes pretend to believe otherwise. To be a part of a community requires vulnerability, and opening yourself up to those other people, and you don't know how they will respond, both short-term or long-term. What will they think? What will they say? What will they do? Even in gatherings like this one here, where folks have known each other for such a long time, that can be scary. Not only because vulnerability means the possibility of getting burned, since hurt people, but also because there is a chance of being welcomed. That prospect, for many people, is just as frightening. Where can we find a gathering of people that is of one heart and one mind? Where can we find a collection of folks who will not run away or run against or run amok when the going gets good or the going gets tough? Is community something you can create in sizable buildings like ours through programs or services? Or can it only happen organically with the seeds of time and watering holes of commitment? Is true community too much to ask for in the church at large? Or should we be satisfied with little pockets of community as we can find them? It's way more than we can get into today, so let's say this for now. On our own, a faith community found in church is impossible. No matter how many people are on the roster, there are too many opinions, too many quirks, too many wounds. But if Jesus can be trusted, if he can fashion a community out of fishermen and zealots and tax collectors, and teach them to live with towels around their waists for the sake of others, then I have to believe that Jesus can still do that today. If that's true, then community may not be elusive, or may be elusive, but not forever evasive. Community may be slippery, but not uncatchable. Community may be inherently risky, but it's worth the gamble. Since church is not a good old boys club, or a fraternity, or a 401c3, but is the active and living embodiment of Christ here and now, then community stands an excellent chance of not only surviving, but living well. What ties us all together is the Holy Spirit, who, according to Jesus, births us like a mother. It's the Holy Spirit who labors us into a centered family, where the deeper truths are found, where you know others and are known by them, where love covers a multitude of sin, where vulnerability invites embrace, where homemade swords are turned into plowshares, where diversity is a divine gift, a place where, because of Jesus, you belong. And isn't that what anyone seeks in community? Belonging. Do I belong here? What is potentially most provocative about church is not whom we shut out, been there, done that, but about whom we welcome in. So let's think about community this way. Community based on Jesus is a mutual obligation toward one another, a shared commitment to each other. Because you are God's beloved, and I am God's beloved, and together we form a beloved and belonging community. In such a community, you are not and cannot be alone. This past week, I experienced this mutual obligation to one another from someone else. I'm in King's office talking to him, and he hands me a yellow encouragement card telling me it's for me. It's from Lily Waltman, all 10 years old of her, a fourth my age. Here it is. One side it says, "To someone in need of love," from Lily Waltman. On the back, you see, it says, "Have a great day. I hope you are well, with some clouds and some rain, and yet there's a heart and a rainbow anyway." Lily, your card is set next to my computer all this week as I've been thinking about my sermon, and it's your words that have shaped my own, and so I'm thankful for that. So thank you very much. Her "whoever needs this" blessed me richly. It's a reminder that a child shall lead them. If you haven't reached out to someone in this faith community recently and you know you need to do so, do it this week. If you are in need of community and don't know where to begin, our shepherds, Dee, Brent, and Larry, those are great people to start with. Lily's story, the one I just told, is a form of testimony, a word to the community of what God has done. And testimony, it turns out, is the next reimagined church practice that's been handed down to us. Jesus, as you probably know by now, practiced testimony. Once, when Jesus spoke to a crowd, he said this, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." These words set off a lengthy and sometimes confusing back and forth between Jesus and the religious leaders who claim that, quote, his testimony is not valid because Jesus had no witnesses. Jesus responded by saying that God was his witness, which unfortunately did not alleviate the growing tension between him and them because they picked up rocks to stone him, but Jesus hid away just in time. Jesus taught about testimony. Once Jesus sent out his disciples to towns and villages ahead of him to go and cure the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and cast out demons. Before he dismissed them, though, he held a training meeting, what to do, what to expect, those kinds of things. He warned his followers that they would be arrested and put on trial for what they did. When that happened, Jesus told them not to worry about what their testimony would be, because when it came time to speak, the Spirit of God would speak through them. Jesus received testimony. Once Jesus' life dripped away from his body, the Roman commander in charge of his capital punishment had witnessed all the events of the past few hours. The community of gathered women, the temple curtain ripping in two. He felt the quaking earth, heard Jesus' cries, saw his final breath. And though he could change nothing now, the lifelong military man standing there, he would testify, whispering, "Surely this is the Son of God." I used to be afraid of the word testimony because in my growing up experience, having a good testimony meant having an outlandish story that was worth telling. Like how one time in youth group, I listened to a former mobster talk about his Damascus Road moment. But my story as an impressionable 16-year-old was nothing like that. Woefully, I was just a white, middle-class kid from the suburbs of Dallas with good friends and good siblings and good parents who loved me and each other, and where's the testimony in that? Or testimony meant telling strangers about Jesus, going up to them, asking them if I could tell them something, handing them a Jesus tract. I shudder now at the few attempts I actually did this, mostly because I first of all failed to see them as a beloved child of God rather than someone who needed me. And second, because I didn't know their story and whatever previous experience they had had with churched people. These days, I think testimony is less that, coming up with the right combination of words to convince a non-Christian, and more perhaps for the sake of the church community. Because when a person of your faith community shares their story, their testimony, whether one-on-one over lunch or standing up front like I am now, you start to think about your own story. Here's what I think God is doing in my life, they might say. Or here's one way I really tried to pay attention to the Spirit yesterday. Or here's how I cried out to God, entrusting God with my anger. Or I don't know what I believe anymore. Their story, simple or profound as it may be, informs your story. What is God up to in my life, and how would I know? Am I paying attention to the Spirit's movements? Do I entrust anything to God? What is it that I believe? Their testimony in your community spurs on your faith. Here's a great testimony topic I recently learned, asking this: what is the story that God is working on in you that has not yet ended? What is the story that God is working on in you that has not yet ended? What if in your Bible classes you ask this question every single week? How would that shape you and the people around you? Testimony, then, is narrating your own life according to the contours of the gospel. It's speaking your own story with the life of Jesus in mind for the benefit of others. Last Wednesday at Reach to Teach, which is our after-school or afternoon tutoring and mentoring program here at the building, a gentleman was there who was picking up his child. He speaks little English. I speak little Spanish. But I knew enough to say, sí, when he asked me if I was el pastor de esta iglesia. With tears welling in his eyes, he said as clear as he possibly could in my language, God has changed my life. His testimony caught me by surprise and it moved me to tears too. All I could think of to say was, me too. Grateful then that I didn't have to be a former mobster to have a testimony worth sharing. Though that was the extent of our conversation, I learned that narrating your life according to the contours of the gospel needs little translation because you can see it. Our sister, Mercy and Bonnie, you can see the contours of the gospel in her life too, can't you? How blessed we are to have her in this very congregation that God has seen fit for her to be a part of this community at this time. I've asked her to share a story and testimony, so she's going to come up to the front and do that now.
Good morning, church. I'm giving this testimony to the glory of God, my own story. Each and every one of us have stories in our lives. I was given only 5 minutes to speak. I will try to do that, but if I don't, please forgive me. Because I have so many things in my life. Testimonies that if I want to say it, I will not repeat one throughout the day that I stay here, but I will pick only one. The Bible says that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimonies. I find myself as a child in my country where I was born. I am not from here. I came here because I was sick. And I left 2 little kids at home. They were very little when I left, and an aged mother. My mother was a widow. I don't know my dad even. So I grew up with my mom, only 2 of us. And a day came that the enemy strike, because he always strike so many times, but Jesus remained the supreme. So I left my country to this place and left 3 people that are important in my life, my mom and my 2 little children. I was given 6 months visa to come to America for treatment at where they call MD Anderson. And the money they asked me to pay, I paid the money And when they conduct only three tests, they said that the money is finished. They didn't tell me that I'm going to pay more money while I was in Nigeria. Only when after that test, they said I have to pay more money. I don't have any money again to pay. They told me, Mercy, you are going to deposit $40,000 a day after tomorrow. But before we finish your treatment, it will take up to $100,000+. I was at the crossroad. I don't know where to go. I don't know who to call. I think of my aged mom every day at home and my two little children. The little one that is so dear to my heart, he will be calling, Mom, when are you coming back? I say, King, I will come. They've not even started the treatment. The other one, they call Miracle, we call, ah, Mom, you told us it's only 6 months. I don't want to tell them the detail that I can't even take the treatment again because I don't have $100,000+. I was frustrated. But something in me kept on telling me there is this God that I know that always comes in difficulties when every hope has lost sometimes. He was there by me. Something in me told me, look at the word of God in the book of Isaiah chapter 49. He says, those that hope in me will not be disappointed. So I hang my faith there. You know, sometimes you will be in hard situations that in the morning you will pray. It's like the heaven is locked. You won't hear anything. In the afternoon you will pray. In the evening you will pray. You won't hear anything from God. But just wait, wait, he will surely come. I was doing something funny, like I will keep seat in that little room. I said, Jesus, sit here. God the Father, sit here. I, Mercy, sit here. I do something like if they put camera in my house, they will say, oh, this woman is mad. I wasn't crazy. I was talking to him because I know he was there. So I said, now tell me, what am I going to do in the grave? Like, I will just die and leave my aged mom and my two little children. Tell me the reason why. I will talk to God. I won't see him, but I feel his presence. So a day came that Michael and I came to this church. Michael and I came here. And as soon as I stepped to this place, as far as I'm concerned, I know I have got my deliverance to the glory of God. So when I came to this holy church, I saw love. I saw people. They didn't even treat me as a stranger. They treat me here as their own. God used this church to save my life. Two people came up. Somebody like Connie Cross and Miss Ginger. They told me, Mercy, don't worry. We are going to search for help for you. Now the story has changed. It's not only me again and Michael. People have started saying, we will help, we will help. So they started looking for help. And I got that help. And God used this church, all of you, to save my life. I was given a few minutes. I had things that, but the enemy did not stop there because he will never accept defeat. He will, if you defeat him in one way, he will come up in another way to fight. But we should learn how to be strong because Jesus has won the battle for us. God is all-powerful. He sits on the throne with all powers in his hand. When God says yes, no power can say no. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes he can come in, but you know what? There is no lateness in this God. Whenever he always comes on time. But to us, because we are in trouble, we will think, oh, why are you leaving me this far? Where are you? But he is there. He is closer to us more than our skin. God is unchangeable changer. What God cannot do does not exist. What he cannot do does not exist. He is impossibility specialist. He can do anything, anytime, anywhere. So I have to stop because I have so many. If I want to share it, you will say this story, but this is story. My case was in newspaper. I would have carried that newspaper and come here this morning and show you newspaper and this Houston carry my story. But I have my faith. I hang on him. So anywhere I go, I have promised him what you did to me, I will tell the world. I will not close my mouth. So God is always there. This is the church. Now here has become my church. This is my family that I've never had. This is my house. Just wait. He will surely come. Amen.
Mercy's testimony is not just her own, is it? It's the testimony of the church. Man, what a gift that is. Thank you, Mercy, for doing that. Grab this. Community, mutual obligation toward one another, and testimony. Narrating your life according to the contours of the gospel. In the church that is emerging among us, these two, along with the other faithful practices that we are reimagining throughout Epiphany, these, by the Spirit, can recalibrate what it means to be church in the world and for each other. We can also see community and testimony come together in the act of baptism. I've said this before, probably many times before, but baptisms here are amongst my most favorite things about this congregation. When someone gets baptized, we move up to the front to get as close as humanly possible to the action. I love that. It's community. As the person goes under the stirred water and is raised up again, God be praised. That's testimony. This morning, we will witness and participate in community and testimony through baptism. Our friend and our brother, Carter McDaniel, after many conversations with his parents, has decided to get baptized. Carter, we are so proud of you, and we love you. I have been assured the water is warm, okay? But I have not felt it. I cannot tell you for sure. Brandy and Caleb, thanks for the ways that you are raising and shepherding your children. Ellery, you are such a good sibling to Carter, and certainly he remembers your baptism. And Carter, your grandparents are here too, all four of them, and what a gift it is that you've driven in to be with us today. Your faith has been passed on to subsequent generations. I love that. So thanks for joining us today. Carter, you and your family can head upstairs, and I think you'll say a few things, or at least someone's going to say a few more things up front. Caleb, when you get up there, I'll hand you the microphone, so don't worry about it yet. But as they go and get ready, before we move as close as possible to the action, let's stand and sing, let's worship together these two songs.
One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision, to sail exalted. We are the body of Christ. And to this we give our lives, to sail glorified. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ, and to this we give our lives, to see you glorified. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Though weighing as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Thank you all for being here for this occasion, and I see so many faces who have surrounded Carter and our family with love and care over many years, his whole life. I see Miss Martha, who's poured so much into you, and I know you're grateful to each one who's here. Carter, when we were talking, you told me that what baptism means to you is leaving sin aside and following Jesus. Do you have faith in Jesus, and do you want to follow him?
Yes.
It's wonderful. And you're following him in being baptized. He was baptized. You're doing what he did. And the other thing I want you to remember and know is what he heard when he came up out of that water, that he was beloved. That's what I want you to remember when you remember this. You're greatly loved. Nothing can ever separate you from that love. So I'm going to baptize you now in the name of Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to put your knees on.
Thank you.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. If they lead o'er the cold, dark mountains, taking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains, helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. If they lead through the temple, holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. By and by through the shining portals turning our feet, we will walk with the glad immortals heaven's golden street. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God over all and blessed eternally. Saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the crystal sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, thou wast and art, and nevermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 earth and a sky and a sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God over all and blessed eternally.
We, the community of the beloved and the belonging and the baptized, we are invited to the table of the one who is our host, Jesus, who welcomes us. Together as one body, with all our opinions and quirks and wounds still intact, we yet eat and drink this bread and from this cup. Thanks be to God. Let's pray, and then I want to ask a couple of folks, a couple of volunteers, to come and help me share the bread and the cup. If you want to do that, you can just join me right up here right after I pray. Let's do that now, please. We do give you thanks, O God, for new life that we see in Carter today. What a joy and what a gift. What a joy also as we have watched him do so and listened to his testimony that we remember our own. And so thanks for that too. Thanks for simple bread and simple drink now. These are remembrances that we now share with one another that Jesus is indeed in us and among us. It's because of him we pray. Amen.
Thank you. won't you take away my shame? Fill me with your fire, satisfy my soul. Fill me with your fire and make me whole. My spirit longs for you, my heart belongs to you. You are my desire, so fill me with your fire. Satisfy my soul, fill me with your fire, and make me whole. My spirit longs for you, my heart belongs to you. You are my desire, so fill me with your fire. Fill me with your fire.
Start a fire in me. Let the flames run through. Burn away the dross. Holy fire of God. Start a
All right, we now have the opportunity to give as we have been given ourselves. So Alex and Glenn will walk around with some offering trays. If you have a tithe, a contribution offering to give, you can place that in there. Also, a couple of the cards maybe that you filled out can go in there too. Let's pray together, please, and then these guys will walk around. Thanks again, God, for the ways that you bless us richly, and not only in funds or this building that we have. We pray with what is given today that your kingdom would continue to come, that your will would continue to be done in this place, just as it is in heavens. Because of Christ we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you before we are sent out from this place. You do not see it up in the slides or in your bulletin today, but on March 2nd, around 6:15, possibly 6:30, it is Ash Wednesday that day. We are going to have an Ash Wednesday service that evening, that Wednesday evening, March 2nd, right here in the building. It's just going to be a very simple service where we will read some scripture, we will sing a few songs, I will speak for a few moments, we'll have ashes too. If you have never been a part of an Ash Wednesday service before, then you are more than welcome to come and be a part of that. Ash Wednesday is the traditional beginning of Lent, which is about a 5 or 6 week stretch going up to Easter, and Ash Wednesday sets the stage for everything that happens during Lent. So this will be an in-person thing, and that's going to be March 2nd, 6:15, 6:30. I'm still debating on time, but we'll keep you updated and talk to you more about that next Sunday. This is a great opportunity to invite your friends and neighbors if you would like to do that. All right, a couple other things you see in your bulletin and up on the screen that our friends from Sunny Glen Children's Home. They're coming here in a couple of weeks to pick up some of the following items: Clorox wipes, vegetable oil, some children medicines, and some crackers, salty snacks. If you want to pick up a couple of these items and place them in the barrel out in the lobby, that would be great. Thursday Bible class continues this Thursday, 10:30 a.m. via Zoom. Judy Zimmerman continues to teach that class on the Sermon on the Mount, and King is your contact there. And we sure hope that you stick around for some classes today. We have them all over the building, from our youngest to our not as young. Adult classes all over the building, and we have a prayer team in the prayer room. So stick around and be a part of one of those today. Well, in our benediction, we have been reading from Ephesians chapter 3 at the end of our services throughout this Epiphany series. So let's do that another time today. Would you stand, please? Receive this benediction as we go forth from here. My prayer is this, that he will lay out all the riches of his glory to give you strength and power through his Spirit in your inner being, that the King may make his home in your hearts through faith, that love may be your root, your firm foundation, and that you may be strong enough with all of God's holy ones to grasp the breadth and length and height and depths, and to know the King's love, though actually it's so deep that nobody can fully know it. So may God fill you with all his fullness. And to the one who is capable of doing far, far more than we could ever ask or imagine, granted the power which is working in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, to the ages of ages. Amen. Go in peace and purpose.